Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the DK Steelers Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, with my friend and co-host, Dale Lolly, talking Steelers football as always. Dale, glad to always have you on the show. My man, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris. How about yourself?
I am doing just fine and dandy. It's a Wednesday. It's hump days. We're going to help y'all get through it. We're going to talk about a key matchup here for a little bit here. And Dale wrote about this for DKPittsburghSports.com, of course. Talking about the Steelers wide receivers versus the Ravens corners. Now, the Ravens cornerbacks, we've known that this team had a good group for a bit now. You got Jimmy Smith, you got Marlon Humphrey, you got Marcus Peters, an athletic group, and probably the group that makes the defense go right now because it gives them some versatility in the secondary. Now, granted, they lost Earl Thomas, they don't have their safety, but those are some athletic cornerbacks going up against the Steelers' deep wide receivers core. Deontay Johnson, who looks like he'll be healthy for this week despite the late-game injury, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Chase Claypool. Dale, your breakdown and how this plays out, it looks like this is going to be a major key to the game possibly for both teams.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup because Marlon Humphrey, who is their best corner, will travel into the slot when the Steelers put more than two receivers on the field. So that'll mean that Juju Smith-Schuster will be drawing Marlon Humphrey in the slot. And they'll have Jimmy Smith on the outside with Marcus Peters on the other side. And I would expect that the Ravens would probably want Marcus Peters matched up on Chase Claypool in those situations, which means that then you have Deontay Johnson with Jimmy Smith. And to me, that's a matchup that I like. If I'm the Steelers right now, in fact, you know, one of the things that I might do if I'm the Steelers is go play some four wide receiver sets, or even use, if you use Eric Ebron as that fourth receiver to kind of force the Ravens into the matchups that you want. That would mean maybe splitting Ebron out beyond the wide receivers and see if you can get one of the Ravens safeties or linebackers. Either they go out and match up with Ebron, which is going to be a mismatch, or the Ravens kick one of the corner out, who's on that side, out to cover Ebron, and they put a linebacker or safety on, let's say, Deontay Johnson in that situation.
No, I get that. That makes a lot of sense. You're right. That would be a way for the Steelers to stretch them out, force them into some tougher matchup decisions. And that's what the Steelers' versatility in offense has allowed them to do, especially, again, with their problems at safety right now, losing Earl Thomas and the guys that they have back there. This could be a chance to get those mismatches and also get some one-on-ones. You know, we've talked about this before, Dale, when they brought Marcus Peters along last year. Marcus Peters is an opportunistic cornerback, but he's not the consistent guy that locks everything down. And him versus Chase Claypool to me seems very interesting as far as big play capabilities, if Claypool's able to get the best of him on a few routes or such.
Yeah, I think you'll see the Steelers try some double moves against him. He likes to bite on those. Those top three cornerbacks have only given up two touchdown passes this year, and he's given up both of them. He's a feast or famine cornerback. Their safeties, they really don't have a true post safety, somebody that you want back there. you know, playing a true free safety positions. They really have a couple of strong safeties. The other thing that spreading them out would do would be to take away some of those blitzes that they want to run. The Ravens like to overload sides and do things of that nature. If you take the cornerbacks and put them out wide and force them to be farther away from the line of scrimmage and maybe take a safety out of the box as well, you know, it's going to be more difficult for the Ravens to blitz.
Right, and that's the thing. You force them to move those pieces, you'll be able – Ben Roethlisberger will be able to see where those blitzes are coming from if they're able to come at all, and then that allows him to say, okay, I'm attacking these parts of the field. And something that we've talked about, you know, as far as leading into this entire season before the Steelers even, you know, lined up with the Ravens to play soon, we've talked about how the Steelers could attack the middle of the Ravens defense because that's where they've gotten soft. You know, they don't have that inside presence. You know, Patrick Queen has stepped in at linebacker as a rookie, but he's still on a serious learning curve. You know, like you said, they got their safeties, you know, LJ Fortz, you know, playing in that position. They have Malik Harrison out there, but this seems to me like an opportunity for, like you said, if they bring out those bigger wide receiver sets, or if they bring out Eric Ebron and run him over the middle, that seems like the opportunity to really slice through this secondary, even if you're getting Marlon Humphrey in the slot on Juju.
Yeah. I mean, the Ravens aren't, you know, a shutdown defense. I know they're scoring wise, they're doing very well, but they, you know, they shut down the Browns in week one. They held the Bengals to 3 points in a couple of weeks ago. So their scoring average is down because they shut down two offenses. Well, the Steelers shut down the Browns as well. You know, so, you know, that's apples to apples in that situation. So I think the Steelers can move the football against these guys. They do give up 109 yards rushing per game. So I think the Steelers can have some success on the ground as well. And I want to see Queen in coverage. I want to try to confuse him a little bit in coverage because, you know, we saw it with Devin Bush last year. Young linebackers will struggle in coverage. You know, that's just the nature of the business, the beast. And Queen's a guy who only had 1 year of starting experience at LSU. So I want to see him tested early and often.
I'm right with you there. I think that would make a lot of sense. Put the pressure on him to adjust and rise up in those moments. The Ravens ranked towards the bottom half of the league in stopping the pass this year, 230.8 yards per game through the air allowed so far. The Steelers much better at 217.5 right now, but you're right. Also, that running game is going to come into effect. Do you think this is also a game where, because of those cornerbacks, that maybe those jet sweeps to Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson might produce a little bit more because you're going to force those guys to move around? And if the Ravens try to go to zone, you're going to force those guys to move around, and then you're also going to be testing those middle guys to sort of pass those guys off on those jet sweeps.
Yeah, there's some potential for that because this is an aggressive defense. And if you can get them, you know, moving one way and get the ball going another, you can maybe have some success against them.
I think there's a few options, more than a few options here for the Steelers offense for sure, Dale. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Ravens and a trade that they made. And the trade deadline approaches in about a week. So we got to talk about what's going on there. All that right after this.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Here on the DK Steelers podcast, I'm your host Chris Carter with my friend and co-host Dale Lally. Dale, the Ravens traded to get Yannick Ngakoue, our good old buddy from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're getting the band back together because now he's with Calais Campbell on that defensive front. Before we get into more bigger picture trade talk here, do you think that this is a big trade for the Ravens defense and that it provides them with a boost that it's going to change how their defense has operated this season?
Well, I don't know if it gives them a big boost, but it certainly gives them better than what they had out there. I mean, he's certainly a better player than Pernell McPhee, who had been starting opposite Matthew Judon. To me, Judon's just a guy. You know, he's an opportunistic sack guy. They'll get him coming free a lot on some of the blitzes, and that's what the Ravens do. They scheme things up to get to the quarterback because they really didn't have a guy who can beat somebody one-on-one. I know Campbell has four sacks this year, but three of them came 2 weeks ago against the Eagles where he just took advantage of a good matchup. So they really don't have that one pass-rushing guy that you fear. Ngakoue gives them a chance to maybe have some of that, a guy who can beat somebody in a one-on-one matchup. So I think it makes them better. You know, he's never been a great run stopper. I think that's where McPhee has the edge on him. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Steelers try to run right at him or do some things there, because James Conner's been running angry, as they said the other day on the broadcast.
Yeah, he certainly has been. One thing to consider is if they get Ngakoue out there and they line him up with Villanueva. Now, Villanueva he's had his ups and downs, but he seemed like he was a lot more up the past few games. And we know Ngakoue can cause the Steelers problems in the past, as he has with the Jaguars. Do you see serious problems with that defensive line and getting some matchups with the Steelers up front? Because we know Campbell's a bad man, but we also know the Steelers have been able to neutralize him at times, or at least make him not have a huge impact on the game. But, you know, these are two serious athletes. Like you said, Judon is kind of like he's going to make the play if it's right in front of him or if he gets an open lane. But those guys we've seen be game changers before as the Steelers. I mean, they had some serious battles with the Jaguars over the years.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a good test for the Steelers' offensive line. There's no doubt about that. But, Ben Roethlisberger is getting rid of the ball quickly. I expect him to be sacked a couple of times in this game. That would not be surprising. But I expect, because he's getting rid of the football, and this is about him recognizing where the defenders are coming from, as much as it is, you know, the offensive line holding up, because they're just going to, what the Ravens do is just a lot of overload blitzes. These are the two blitz heaviest teams, in the league. They blitz the most, more than any other two teams in the league. So the things that work for the Steelers are the same things that work for the Ravens. That's just the way it works.
I mean, we've heard it for years, even 10 years ago, 12 years ago, Mike Tomlin was like, they play football like we want to play football. And there are a lot of similarities there. But you're absolutely right. Baltimore Ravens have the highest blitz percentage right now, 46.1, Steelers 44.3. Pressure percentage, Steelers have the edge there, 37.1 to Baltimore's 29.2. And then quarterback knockdown percentage, the Ravens are doing it 12% of the time. Steelers almost 12%, like right behind them. But the Steelers have the edge in sacks, 26-22. Steelers still lead the NFL in sacks, and that's also with several of those teams that are right behind them, the Buccaneers, the Eagles, and the Rams, all playing seven games, one more than the Steelers right now. I look at this as some serious opportunities for the Steelers to assert themselves. If they take away that pass rush and they're able to attack the middle of the defense, you could see some rhythm pick up for this Steelers offense, the way it looked like the rhythm was picking up last week early against the Titans. I guess, is there a big takeaway that you have right now for the Steelers offense as far as what they need to focus on to make them, you know, to get back to that level of consistency? Which, I mean, they didn't lose it too much. It's just they had one half where the Titans just made some plays on them. But as far as, like, where do you think that they're going to go to find their bread and butter this game?
Chris, I have no idea because it changes from game to game. And that's the great thing about what they're doing offensively right now. You know, if you take one or two things away from them, they've got other things that can pick up the slack there. So, you know, they've shown that they can be a down the field passing team if they want. They seem to prefer to play it, you know, more quickly and get the ball out of Roethlisberger's hands quickly. They've shown they can run the football. So I don't know if I'm the Ravens right now, I'm not really looking forward to that part of this matchup.
Yeah, I think it could be something to consider. But, you know, back to the whole trade aspect. Yannick Ngakoue got traded to the Ravens, a big move for them, as far as at least, you know, just getting a big name on the team. A lot of people, of course, are saying, the Steelers used to trade for this guy, trade for that guy. Now, you and I both know they're not trading for a J.J. Watt or Stephon Gilmore. All those people, people stop talking about that. And I'll get to that more in my my Don't Get Me Started segment. But as far as the you know, actual moves, is there any move that you think the Steelers might even consider for this trade deadline? Because to me, they're still protecting the salary cap. The only thing would be a low-level player costing a very low-level pick if they find something that works somewhere.
Yeah, I just don't see anything happening right now. I mean, really the only hole is it inside linebacker. And, you know, you can cover up for that. You know, they've got guys that they can play there. You know, you mentioned the salary cap. They're about $9.2 million under this year's cap. And they want to keep it that way because they can roll that cap space over into next year, you know, for whatever they don't use. So they want that cushion. They want to be able to save that cap space. So, you know, I just don't see many moves that would make a lot of sense for them. You know, I was looking over the inside linebacker list of guys, and the only person on an expiring contract that would even interest me would be Gerard Davis from the Lions. And the Lions just made a trade to acquire Everson Griffin. So they're thinking that they have a chance to win. They're not going to be sellers here. And so I just don't see the Steelers making any moves.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that any major name linebackers that you've seen play athletically and play the way that the Steelers would need – at least for this year, to replace Devin Bush, they're all getting paid or they're on teams that love them right now. Like, you know, you're not getting a Darius Leonard. You're not getting, you know, I had one person ask me about Miles Jack, and I'm like, Miles Jack's got money tied up for the next 4 years. You're not trading.
Yeah. He's making $8 million this year, for God's sakes.
Yeah. And I think it goes up to like 15 or something over the next few years. Like, yeah. It's not just what they make now, even too. It's also what they're going to make over the next few years. And, you know, we've talked about all offseason. We'll be talking about it again once this season's over. What do the Steelers do free agency? You know, how much do they pay T.J. Watt? You know, where does Bud Dupree go? Because it's most likely he can't stay in Pittsburgh. You know, what do they do with Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, and other players that they got to consider? They've got all those questions. You throw in another big-name middle linebacker or inside linebacker just to replace Devin Bush because he got hurt this year. You're throwing all of that out of whack, and, you know, who knows what the results might be.
Yeah, I agree. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to you know, tie up a lot of salary cap money if it, say, costs you Cam Sutton next year or something like that.
I agree. I think you go with the guys that you're building chemistry with, and who's to say that they won't find someone in the draft this year maybe to help address the depth at that position. Dale, thanks so much for, as always, coming on the show. We're going to throw it to one more quick break. And when we come back, it's Don't Get Me Started. Welcome back to the DK Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter, and you're listening to Don't Get Me Started. Don't get me started with all y'all people out there trying to play like this is Madden with your general manager decisions about what the Steelers should and shouldn't do. This is Don't Get Me Started, the rant segment of the DK Steelers podcast. Now, this is coming from a place of love. I'm trying to help y'all out. And I know it ain't all y'all. It's a select few that try to do this. But this is to all the people out there that think that football and general managing and signing players and trading players and building a team is just as simple as putting together a team in a video game like Madden, or, you know, like a trading card game where you're, you know, trading players around and, ooh, I can get this guy, plug him in and get this out of him and he's going to fit so well. And no, it don't work like that. Now, I say this because a few reasons. One, you know, it's the trade deadline is here. It's week 8. So everyone's hustling and trying to say, what if the Steelers trade for this? What if the Steelers trade for that? And the latest, of course, well, not the latest. This guy's been on the list. J.J. Watt. Everyone wants to trade for J.J. Watt. I understand it. The Steelers have Derek Watt. The Steelers have T.J. Watt. I get it. And J.J. Watt's a great player. He's a great leader. If in the dream world, yes, it would be wonderful for the Steelers to put him on the roster, and he would be a huge addition to what they do. But let me stop you right there, because J.J. Watt makes way too much doggone money, even if the Texans wanted to trade him. Yes, the Texans are in a rebuilding situation right now. They're stinking up the joint this year. They're not playing well. They've got young talent they need to build around, like Laremy Tunsil and Deshaun Watson, and J.J. Watt doesn't fit that bill, but J.J. Watt also makes $15.5 million a year. Now, sure, he has one more year under contract, and that's the other thing. Next year, he makes $17.5 million a year. We don't even know what the salary cap's going to be, and the Steelers are already under what we project it to be. Even if it's going to be the same or lower, we don't know, and y'all want to sign or trade for J.J. Watt. Just know that no, don't make sense. No. And the defensive line is fine. They've got T.J. They've got Bud. They've got Cam. They've got Stephon. Alualu's been a great depth guy. Just no, don't do it. The latest one was when the rumor popped up in the interwebs that Stephon Gilmore, the reigning defensive player of the year and the guy who played the cornerback for the New England Patriots, because now they're talking about maybe the Patriots will want to trade him. That wouldn't work. Right now, his cap number for the Patriots is $23 million. Now, you could potentially make it work this year. Because I believe the Steelers would only have to carry about $6 million of his contract, because $17.8 million of that money is dead money that's stuck with the Patriots. But next year, then he's got a cap number of $16.4 million, and then you got all these other. Just know the defense is fine. They don't need to go out and get a superstar. If they trade for anything, it needs to be lower depth players, guys that are filling roles, you know, maybe a way down the line backup inside linebacker to help the depth there with the absence of Devin Bush. And it wouldn't be someone that costs a lot of money. And most likely, it's not a person that you're excited about because you saw him making plays on highlight shows like SportsCenter or NFL Network or the Fantasy Red Zone, whatever that's called. And frankly, shouldn't Steeler Nation feel extremely comfortable about what decisions are being made up there? And I think part of this is triggered even more. I mean, it always is a factor for Steelers fans, because every fan base wants to make these moves to happen. But I think part of this is because people are now super happy after the Minka Fitzpatrick trade, because it never happened before. The Steelers never traded a first-round pick to get a current player. But that's the thing. They still rarely do it. It's not going to mean that they're going to do it all the time now. So don't think that that's now going to become the norm for the Steelers. But I say this. Looking around the league, why do you think that Kevin Colbert should get aggressive when he knows exactly what he's doing? He knows when to turn up the juice. He knows when to go after the players. Heck, he brought Eric Ebron here. He's helping Ben Roethlisberger over the middle. He went and got Joe Hayden. He knows when to go after somebody and when they'll fit into the Steelers locker room and work. I mean, Steven Nelson, y'all love him. Joe Hayden, y'all love him. Minka Fitzpatrick, y'all love him. Trust Kevin Colbert. I don't remember who, but I got into it with someone on Twitter back in like August or September. because they pointed out that the Dallas Cowboys had signed Gerald McCoy, Alden Smith, Everson Griffin, and like one other big name player to the defensive front. And these are all big name guys. If you're not a big football follower across the league and you're more of just a Steelers fan, Gerald McCoy at one point was in the running to be the best defensive tackle in football until Aaron Donald showed up. But Gerald McCoy he was still a beast when he was healthy, but he's not healthy right now. Alden Smith was looking like a premier edge rusher before he showed the world how crazy he was and probably still is. Everson Griffin, same boat, was looking like a great edge rusher until he had a mental case in Minnesota, and that kind of ruined his standing there. But I remember the argument I got into was because all those guys added up to all these big names that the Dallas Cowboys had on their defensive front, and if you added them up, they were still cheaper than what the Steelers are paying Bud Dupree this year. And I was like, yeah, because Bud Dupree's a proven player that just had 10.5 sacks last year and isn't a head case. Now, Gerald McCoy isn't a head case. He was just hurt. Plus, the Steelers know what they have. Bud fits into the chemistry that they have. But no, the person was, I remember this person, I don't remember who it was for the life of me, but I remember this person was always on me. It was not always, but they were like, they say, no, Chris, look at the players, and this is the kind of moves that I wish Kevin Colbert would make. What do you mean? To be like the Cowboys? The Cowboys have won like 2 playoff games since I was in kindergarten? Those Cowboys? Why? Why? Kevin Colbert has had the Steelers relevant since he's been on the team since 2000. Why? He took over in 2000. Since then, they've had, what, 1 losing season? 2003? When Tommy Maddox was the quarterback? They've always been relevant. They've always been fighting for something. Even in that 2003 season, there was a point where you were like, maybe, okay, no, it's over. But they were never like the Jets right now. They're never like the Giants right now. They've always had at least a sliver of hope that, hey, even in a bad year. I mean, last year they were down to a 4th-string rookie quarterback. Undrafted. Devlin Hodges. You called him Duck. He was known for his duck calling more than his throwing. And they managed to pull out an 8-8 season with that guy. Kevin Colbert knows what he's doing. We don't. And I say we because I'm included. I'm not a general manager. I'm a writer. I'm an analyst. I break things down. I make educated guesses. But I would never sit here and say, hey, man, Kevin Colbert, he really stinks. He don't know what he's doing. I respect the heck out of anybody that does those jobs. Now, if you're a complete, utter failure like Adam Gase, then I'll be like, okay, yeah, that guy stinks. But Kevin Colbert is the platinum standard of GMs in the NFL. Why the heck would you go against what he's doing? So stop. Just stop. If the Steelers are, if he mentions something like, hey, we might want to, then you can, then it's like, okay, Kevin Colbert said, I'm in. Trust what he's doing. Trust how he gets it done. Because he's gotten it done for such a long time. But y'all got me started. And this has been Don't Get Me Started here on the DK Steelers podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Please leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. Doing show really helps with the show, moves up the program. We're getting more and more of you listeners on the DK Podcast Network here. Tune into DK's Daily Shot and all the other shows that we've got right on this platform. We've got a lot of great stuff to talk about all the time here. A lot of great content. Appreciate all of you. Check out our work at DKPittsburghSports.com. I'll be back tomorrow doing a solo show, getting you ready for Thursday Night Football.